I think at the heart of all this, God is inviting us to a living and a real, aligned, surrendered relationship with him. If you've got your Bibles, please turn to James chapter 4. And in James if you're visiting with us, really, really welcome to you. We've been in a series over the last number of months looking through the book of James. James was addressing a scattered church, a challenged church, a church that was going through persecution and challenge. And he was calling for this community to grow up. It was a time to stand up. And we have been going through this book and we're like, Lord, how can your word shape who we are as a church as we're coming into what you're calling us into as a church into our next chapter? There are three things that we're committed to as a church and we are passionate about, and we want to continue to explore and understand what this really means in practice. I think at our heart, we are about making disciples. We want to make disciples. We want to be disciples that love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, that have discovered Jesus and want to become like him, right? And that there's a shaping journey that of the outworking of our life. And Jesus said, I want you to go and make disciples. And so at our heart, as a church, we want to be about making disciples. Making disciples in Huntingdon. And it doesn't start when you get converted. It starts well before, when Jesus took a bunch of ragged fishermen and all sorts and also rounds and gathered them around him and began to shape their lives even before they believed in him. And that's how it works even today. So you and I have been called to make disciples. One, make disciples. Two, we're passionate about raising up leaders, because I believe that you are a leader and an influence exactly where God has placed you. In your street, in your office, in the corner of your office, you have got an influence to bring. And we want to invest into you becoming everything that God has called you to be. I'm not primarily interested about you serving our programs. I'm about empowering you and us being called out into the world to be making the difference and to be bringing the influence of heaven here on earth. And the third thing is that we want to be about transforming our communities. We want to be about seeing God changing lives, changing hearts. And Jesus said, I've come to bring life and life to the full. And when people started hanging around Jesus, their lives began to thrive. There was just Jesus, his life begins to cause you to thrive. And my vision is that we see thriving lives, but as we change, as we see lives beginning to be changed, beginning to be transformed, it just doesn't affect your insular relationship with God. It begins to affect the way we live. And it begins to affect the way that we engage with where we live and the people we're connected with and our office and our teams. And we can begin to see thriving communities. And not just like we're it and we're the agent to be seeing the agent of change, but we want to work together. We want to work together with other churches that are doing dynamically amazing things across this town. We want to work with other agencies, with government agencies, with different agencies that also are looking to see our community thrive. And we see ourselves being part of the mix about what God wants to do. And where that takes us, we feel excited. But at our core, we want to be a people that are about making disciples, raising up leaders, and transforming our communities. Oh, I feel excited about that. That's what I want to get up for in the morning. That's why I go to work. God, because I want to make a difference. And so we're just going to take up an offering right now. I always forget. But I just want us to be sowing into the purpose and the kingdom of God. And we, you know, as a church, we're able to affect so many things through the ministry of us as a church. And so James is committed, we'll take the offering and I'll continue to share. And James is committed to seeing a church arising that's passionate about Jesus, that is focused on Christ, that is making disciples, that is becoming the people that God has called them to be the people that will make the difference where they are. And he's been, James so far in this book has been concerned that our faith would be practical and not theoretical. He's been concerned that it's impactful and not just informational. So our faith isn't just to get about getting information on a Sunday, but our faith is about being impactful for where we live. And it's a call to a lifestyle. And at the heart, well, let's just read this together, shall we? James chapter 4 and verses 1 to 10. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous at what others have, but you can't have it or you can't get it. So you fight and you wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy with God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the Spirit of God has placed within us is filled with envy? But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. So verse 7, he says, so humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for those who for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. We spend so much of our time trying to make ourselves honored, to try and lift ourselves up, to try and solve the situations ourselves. We try so hard to try and make it on our own. And yet, at the heart of James's invitation in this passage is, I want to invite you to come into a relationship with me. And that is at the heart of James's appeal in these 10 verses to us today. He's calling us to submit to God and to come into a relationship with him. I don't know how often you fight within yourself. Do you have those fighting inner conversations that go inside you? Have I done enough? Am I good enough? Should I do that? Or, oh, I did that. Oh my goodness, I've really screwed up. Oh my goodness. And we have these inner battles of, I really want that. How can I get that? And we have these inner struggles, these inner desires, James says, that wage war within us. The desire to be dominant at any cost. The desire to be right. I have got to be right in this situation. My wife is wrong. Probably she's never wrong. But I'd love to be right. I've got to try and be right. The desire to want a life that we just haven't got. And you're constantly looking at what you haven't got and wanting it. And it's like this battle going on inside of us. A desire to be accepted by the culture of today's values that's totally different to God's. A desire to be in control. Because there's something inside us telling us that if we don't fend for ourselves, no one else is going to look out for me. We have these battles that go on in the inside of us. I have this battle that it's got to be at me. I've got to get this. I need to get that. I need to be there. I. But do you know what? At the bat, in the middle of all this, submission to God is about, we know, yielding and coming into alignment with God. Some of you, you know, sometimes, you know, like, it could be a bit like your tires on your car, right? Your dry, aligned tires. So often we're focusing on, oh my goodness, the tread has gone down again on my tire. I need to change the tires. I need to change. I need to change the wife. I need to change the church. I need to get a better church. I need to get a better job. I need to change it. And we're always looking at, we have to change the tires because they're running down. But what you haven't realized is that it's not a tread issue. It's an alignment issue, which is the cause of what is it going on at a deeper level. And if you can get your alignment right, your tread is going to be right. And you see, coming into submission with God is coming into alignment with how God's ways are. And you see, coming into God's submission, James starts challenging that there's two ways that we can go. We can go God's way or the world's way. What do we mean by worldliness? What do we mean by the world? Is the world bad? No, your car is good. Your house is good. The internet's good if it's used in the right way. It's stuff. So worldliness is not the stuff. Worldliness is talking about the values and the ways of essentially what is a culture that doesn't want God at its heart. At the heart of worldliness is self-centeredness. And a life that's lived about what I want to look out for myself. And at the heart of this is an excluding of God from the very vortex of your life, where we don't involve God in our decisions. I'm making my own decisions. I am the one that's about my own affections, about my own passions. They're all aligned to myself. And I really don't want anything to do with God. I'm happy for a bit of God on Sunday, but really, I'm aligned to my own will, my own ways, every other day of the week. Have I really aligned my heart and my ways to God? And James is appealing to this church, you know, you're quarreling, you're arguing among yourself. We've seen already through James that there was discrimination between rich and poor in the church, and they were celebrating the rich but disregarding the poor. And he's like, there are these tensions going on. And he says, these tensions come from what's going on inside you. And he said, we have to align ourselves into the way of God and to coming unto God. And he says, we have a choice. And it's really interesting that we try and wage and what we're wanting to do things, I need to do things my way, and we forget this beautiful little piece in verse 2 that says, yet you don't have because you don't ask God for it. We're just not thinking about bringing God into the heart of our lives and trusting him. We're trusting on ourselves and not trusting on God. Guys, this is so basic. Like, you're like, oh, Tim, like, this is like, we did this in spiritual kindergarten. But the thing is that this still matters to us today because we err to rot. Like, we really do err to rot. And we need to be reminded to, like, it's an ongoing, like, resubmitting my life to the way of God. Because there's this battle going on. Shall I do my own thing? Do I get what I want? Or, Lord, what are you saying in this? What do you think about what's going on? And we don't think about bringing God into the heart of what we're about. But life was never designed to live in an exclusive relationship with yourself, dependent upon yourself. Rather, James points out that actually life is designed to be lived out in a relationship with God, connected to our source, to our provider, who's actually outside of our closed system. Like, it's involving God into the mix of what we're about. And instead of fear and trying to angle our corner, I say, God, I just want to trust you with this. Like in a traffic jam. Like, Yeah, Trevor's had loads of traffic jams issue this week. 3.5 hours coming back from this, from a networking day that we were hosting for the region, looking at church in market towns and rural communities. We got stuck in a traffic jam yesterday on the A421 or something between the A1 and M1 to this cell training day. How many hours did we have in the car? It's a couple of hours. It's nothing like yours. Nothing like yours, Susan, we have to say. But we formed a small group within our car. We were on to a small group conference. Ashley had some like little icebreaker cards in the car, so we were like, hey, and like, you know, some people had never really met in the car. So by the time we got to the cell conference, we were a cell. We were a small group. We were like walked in and we were like, yeah, we are it. And we'd realized that we'd met with God in the car. We prayed for Alreza in the car. We got to know each other a bit. We'd unpacked it because this is really not we shouldn't be spending this time in the sermon on this. Trevor had WhatsApped through the notes of the first session we missed, so we're like unpacking that in the car. We got, you know, Matthew 18 open, and we're like, well, how do you experience God in relationship, you know, in your friendship? So we're like, they're like, yeah, this. So like, we've just formed a small group in the car in our traffic jam. So Lord, just turn every situation around for good. And we were thinking, at what point do we all need the loo? And that was getting a worry point. But suddenly, we were so deep in our small group, suddenly we realized the traffic had all started moving on. And like, we were like, oh, right. Anyway. So, call to alignment with God. And yielding ourselves over to him. And we have got two ways. We either walk our own way or we can walk in relationship with God. Either a relationship with the world or a relationship with him. And he actually lays it on really thick. He says, you're like you're adulterous. You're adulterous towards God. It's like you profess to have a relationship, you've had a relationship with him, but then you're living completely in a relationship with another set of values. And James doesn't mince his words. And he calls us, saying, stop being double-hearted. Stop being double-minded. Stop being like that, because actually, you won't have what you ask for because you're double-minded in all your ways. You'll be unstable. Come and draw towards God. And I just think this is such good news because God intensely envies for your soul. Exodus 20 and verse 5, one of the Ten Commandments, that God's a jealous God. He longs for an exclusive relationship with you, where you walk and I walk with him hand in hand. Could we give that to him? Could we give him an exclusive relationship that he desires to have with us? It's not a controlling relationship, but it's an incredibly empowering relationship. It's an enabling relationship that he wants to have with us. But what can we do about this? How can we get out of conflict? How can we live in the world, but not of the world? So Tim, are you telling us that we've got to all go and live in a monastery? Like we have to get out of this world? It's all like, oh, that's right. I was saying about the cars and stuff. Stuff's neutral. It's how we use it. And it is basically, what value system are we living by? And God's saying, I want you to come and live with my value system. I want you to come over to me. And that is the walk of discipleship. That's becoming a learner of putting his yoke on our lives and becoming more and more aligned to Christ in our lives. And that is a lifelong journey that we've started, and the scripture brings to shape that. But how do we get out of conflict, and how can we live in the world but not of the world? Monasteries. So we have not been called to go in, you know, we can't live in this room for 24/7, 7 days a week. First of all, I would annoy you, but actually that's not, you know, Jesus said, I'll send you out to be in the world, but not of the world, isn't it? And you see, we need to be confident that our faith, sometimes we feel like we're going to get contaminated by the world. And I grew up believing that my closest friends should not be non-Christians because they'll contaminate me. And I was raised up believing that I shouldn't dabble in the world because it's sinful and I will get polluted. So I never went to parties, never went to discos, you know, never went to anything because I might get tempted and I might fall. What did I miss out? I'm useless at pub quizzes because I had no culture. Because I thought that I needed to be in a ghetto to be holy for God. But I didn't realize that actually my faith is more buoyant than I didn't realize that God's bigger than he is. And so I began to realize thank God, in my late teens, early 20s, that actually, no, greater is he that's in me than in the world. My faith began to go from a fearful mentality of Christianity that I'll be contaminated, to actually believing that Jesus, he touched a leper, he didn't get leprosy, the leper got healing. He infected the world with the kingdom. Now, I'm not saying that we can't get mixed up and entangled into the relationship of the world, because you can. And we have to walk with integrity and openness and so on and so forth. But, you know, when I sent my daughter off to university, I said, Ola, just go into the world. Like when you're in the nightclubs and your friends are puking up everywhere and they've lost it all, you be the one there that can mop them up, that can give them a drink, that can carry them home, that you're there as an urban shepherd right in the heart of the mess, because you are stronger than you think you are. Your faith is more buoyant than you think you are. We can walk into a place and we can redeem it for God. We can influence it for God. It will not contaminate us. We will contaminate the world. And I really think the church has to grow into a conviction that yes, we might be like, you know, sheep sent among wolves, but man, we can bleat hard. You know, yes, we might get cut down, we might get persecuted, we will get persecuted, and we will make stands, but God's calling us to have a strong faith, that if we're aligned with him, it says, you align yourself with God. And what's going to happen? You begin to resist the enemy. We're saying, no, I'm not having you mucking around my friend like that. I'm not having those lies coming into my head. That's not who you've called me to be. That's not who God has called me to be. That's not what God says. Do you know, submission to God is your spiritual immune system. See, Jesus, he went into the desert to that point of temptation when he had fasted for 40 days. And that sacrifice, that spiritual sacrifice, was his immune system, that when the enemy came to tempt him, he was like, I'm fueled in God, and came with the scripture, and bang, bang, bang. He could not be infected because his spiritual immune system was built in God. And yes, you would be worried to be in the world if your immune system is low. Don't go into the world if your system is immune, if your spiritual immune system is low. Get a good immune system. Invest yourself in the Word. Invest yourself in the presence of God. Fast. Connect. You know, be giving. Be walking in the ways of Christ. And oh, whoa, I am ready to go. God, pray. Pray in the Spirit, you know, flow in the things of God in your own personal walk. I tell you what, when I was I used to go to sixth form at Hinchinbrook, and I used to live in Gormanchester, and I was learning about this when I was growing up. I said, God, yeah, I want to be an influencer where I am. And I chose to walk to school. And I used to, you know, that 40 minutes from Gormanchester to Hinchinbrook, that was my prayer route. I used to pray in tongues every morning. And I tell you what, I'd get to that school gate and I'm like, I'm ready to go. Come on. And you see, you know, we need to be people that have got a high spiritual immune system. And, you know, aligned to God. And that is where some of our immune system comes. We get immunity because we're aligned with God. And, you know, he says, submit to God. Align ourselves. And we're also called to submit to one another. He said, live a submitted life. But we don't want to submit because we fear control. We fear we'll get diminished, we'll get trampled on. But But do you know what? Submission is about coming under a mission and lifting up and making it. If we're packing for holiday, I am right submitted to my wife. She's like, right, Tim, we need this, this, this. I go into a kitchen. I go, and she's like, Tim, cut the carrots. I'm like, yeah, I'm on it. I can do that. And so, you know, we're called to submit to one another. We're called to come under the mission of God. Not come under my own mission, but coming under the mission of God and making it possible. Coming under the mission of what your work's about. We're called to submit to godly government. When government is doing all it should do, we're called to submit to government. We're called to submit to one another. Husband, marriage, there's a whole submission dynamic, being called to go there. So there's a flow of order. And you know, that the FA Cup final yesterday, if there'd been no sense of order around that game, someone would have ran off out of the stadium with a football and like, oh yeah, I found a doorway. That's going to be the goal today. Just like 10 minutes out of the stadium. That's where we're going to score the goals today. And everyone's in the stadium is like, where's the game of football gone? Oh, I went 10 minutes down the road. No, the game makes sense because there's a sense of order to what we're trying to do. Do you get what I mean? And so those players, as amazing as they are, they come under the rules of the game to make it a dynamic experience. And we're like, oh, no, I don't want to obey the rules. Right. And so God said, wait, well, you got a choice. Come on my team, or you find another team, you know? If you're on this team, you're going to play by my rules. And we're invited to submit into that. And as we submit to God, we raise our immunity. And we can begin to resist the enemy and say no. Now, we need to understand the enemy has lost its power, Hebrews 2. But the enemy can deceive, can trick us, can whisper, can grind us down, deceive us. And as we're spiritually sharp, we're like, no, I'm not having that. That is not true. I'm not walking down that line. And we get our shield out and we banner, we're resisting the enemy. And the promise is he is going to flee from you. He is going to, and 1 Peter, really interesting. Peter almost mirrors exactly the same passage. You can read it in 1 Peter chapter 5, 5 to 9. Write that down in your notes and read it at home. But almost a mirrored passage. So basically, John and Peter had got this revelation from Jesus. And they say, humble yourselves, yield yourselves. But the enemy is prowling around like a lion, seeking whom he can devour, is what Peter says. But humble yourself before God. Resist the enemy, and he will flee from you. In the prayer meeting this morning, we heard about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Three men that were dared to live by a different value system. And it wasn't easy. They got thrown into that furnace. And they're like, even if we die, even if we get burnt, we're still going to go because we're committed to a heart relationship with God that stands for things. And they went in. And the miracle happened that they were not affected by the fire. And you see, as we align ourselves and submit to God, he will protect us. And he says, come near to God. Come near to me. And the promise of James is that he will draw near to us. Let's stand together. Lord, we just want to be a people that are aligned with you. God, as a church, we want to be a church that is aligned into your ways and into your purposes and your plans of us. God, we want to be of one heart and of one mind. And we see the Trinity that is so in this dynamic relationship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and serving one another and flowing with each other and yielded to each other, flowing on a shared mission together. And Lord, that you invite us into that divine team, that divine relationship. And we thank you that you've welcomed us into your family. But God, there's stuff that goes on in us that's still a battle for the old world, for the old system. And God, can you help us in our struggle when fear feels like it runs our days? when doubts feel like they are the biggest mantra that we live by. Lord, we want to just yield those things to you today to make you our Lord, to say, God, we want to live by your heartbeat. Lord, my dreams would be yielded to your dreams. That my life principles will be yielded to your life principles. Lord, that my priorities will be yielded to your priorities. God, that my plans will be yielded to your plans. Lord, we want to abandon ourselves to you, Lord, to walking in your amazing ways. Because you're a good, good Father and you've got good plans for us. Just right now, as the band is going to lead us in our closing song, so I want to invite you, if today there are things that you know that aren't aligned, where it feels like we have been battling, maybe battling with yourself or battling with your spouse, battling with someone close to you. God, I just want to say, remember that we're on the same team. God's saying, can you remember that you're on my team and I want to play for you? He laid everything down for you. He laid everything down for me that we might walk together with him. In our marriages, there might be things that we've allowed to become conflicts. And we both need to come together to rid that worldliness of strife. Say no, we remember we're on the same team and we want to seek the will of God together. Lord, where there are broken relationships, we pray that you bring healing. Lord, we invite you to come into these areas today. So I want to invite you just to take some minutes during this song just to have your own conversation with the Lord and just to recorrect yourselves back onto him in a fresh way. Maybe something you've been struggling with and keeping to yourself, in this moment you want to give it to him. Say, Lord, I just submit this to you. Can you help me? He invites us to come with humility, not independence and arrogance, but with humility. Lord, would you come? Just take some moments just to do some business between yourself and the Lord.